I'ma give it to you with no trivia. Roll like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip hop will rock and shock the nation. Like the
Welcome to F It, Let's Talk Fights with Johnny Sig, brought to you by the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network.
Last night we had another awesome fight. Josh Taylor wins a decision over Regis Prograis at 140 pounds to close out the World Boxing Super Series, and also marries together the WBA and IBF belts at that said weight class. I had the fight close. I thought it was a very good fight. I could see a scorecard of 8-4 or 7-5 for Josh Taylor, who delivered great body work. He worked his ass off on the inside, and he seemed a lot more comfortable at the southpaw to southpaw style matchup that we had last night, Regis Prograis being a southpaw. I tell you what, too, man, Taylor's eye was busted up pretty bad going down the later stages of that fight. And I tell you what, man, I was very impressed that he was able to stick with his game plan, remain focused, and persevere, even though that Prograis did seem to come on a little bit in the later rounds. And I tell you what, Prograis is a warrior, man. His eye didn't look so hot coming out of that either. And I love the fact that he showed great class in defeat. I wouldn't mind running this one back. I think the next time around we get equally as good of a fight, or maybe even a better fight, as these guys know each other better. And I think that Prograis had a little bit more of a difficult time fighting the likeliness of himself, southpaw versus southpaw, whereas southpaws are usually accustomed to fighting orthodox fighters. I'm sure him and his people trained against southpaws, but it just seemed like Josh Taylor was more suited to fight that type of fight they had last night. And I saw great exchanges on the inside. Most of the fight was fought on the inside, and it was really Josh Taylor that, in my opinion, bought that fight to the point of where it was, and mostly the center of the ring and in the pocket. And we saw some great attacks to the body from both fighters, some uppercuts, just really good infighting. And for me, Prograis just didn't seem to be as aggressive as he had been in the past. But then again, he has not fought a guy such as Josh Taylor, who is now 16-0 with 12 KOs. I think Regis Prograis' stock remains pretty much the same. I mean, he does lose the unbeaten stature that he had going in. Now he falls to 24-1 with 20 KOs, but I still think that he's a very live player at 140. Maybe he goes up to 147. Maybe they run this back. Both guys need to heal. Both guys had a tremendous year, and what a way to close out the 140-pound World Boxing Super Series edition. Okay, so on the undercard, Derek Chisora knocks out David Price in the fourth round. I didn't like this fight going in. I mean, obviously, I knew it was going to be entertaining, but I did know that David Price was going to get knocked out. He has decent boxing skills. He just seems like a big target to me. He's been, you know, beat up and knocked out way too many times over the course of the past, however long now, maybe a decade or so. I mean, at this point, the people around him need to save him from himself. Hopefully the people around him care about him enough to say, hey, David, listen, man, you went for it last night, buddy. You know, you tried your best. It didn't work out for you. You got knocked out in the fourth round against a nice heavy puncher. You've been devastated before. And you're at the highest weight category in boxing against the most dangerous people in boxing, and they're putting trauma to your head. Maybe it's time to call it quits. I think it's time that David Price thinks about another career option. Okay, moving on to ESPN. Last night, Shakur Stevenson improved to 13-0 with 7 KOs against Joette Gonzalez, who now falls to 23-1, 14 KOs. I'm not going to get into the whole family drama that, you know, obviously ESPN brought to light and informed you all last night if you were watching the fight. I think it's whatever. It adds to the story. You know, if you have a casual there, you're trying to like watch the fight with, you know, a girlfriend of yours or a friend of yours who doesn't really care about boxing, this kind of engages them. And it's like, ooh, I want to hear this. This is like WWE soap opera stuff. And I will go to the WWE in a moment. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I'm excited about Crown Jewel coming up, and you can hear my excitement in my voice. Anyhow, it adds, you know, it engages the viewer that's a casual or someone that's not really heavily into boxing to be like, okay, this sounds like a soap opera. It's like WWE-ish. I could get into this. Ooh, you know, let's see what happens. Well, really nothing happened other than Shakur Stevenson just had shown great talent and just boxed the shit out of Joette Gonzalez, who had zero game plan and looked like a guy who just did not belong there. I hate to disrespect people. I respect everyone in this business that's trying to earn a living, and especially as difficult of a sport as boxing is to earn a living and strive and survive in that industry. I hate to poo-poo on someone, but Gonzalez last night just really didn't seem to have any type of game plan. Maybe the emotion of the drama, kind of made him come to this fight and present himself in a way that was not his norm. But he really didn't do much. Okay. Shakur Stevenson looked great last night, man. You know, I'd like to see him finish an overmatched opponent down a stretch in the future, because I'm not going to say he played with his food last night, but he did have moments where it seemed like he could have shined even greater. Now, I know some people like pure boxing, and I do too. I'm a fan of Floyd Mayweather, Andre Ward, you know, pure boxers. However, I think that, you know, with Shakur, he's young. He needs to create excitement. He needs to get knockouts early. Remember when Pretty Boy Floyd was Pretty Boy Floyd, man, when Mayweather was out there like dogging people like Diego Corrales, and Mayweather was like an underdog in that fight. You know, like, he was young. He was getting people buzzed on him and hyped on him. Shakur Stevenson needs to do that, you know. And then when he gets later in his career, if he has to outbox guys that oppose a threat to him, which obviously Gonzalez opposed zero threat in that fight last night. I don't think Gonzalez won a round in that fight. My point is, you got to go after somebody. And excuses can be made that if you're facing a formidable opponent and you have to be careful because that said opponent has a strong right or a left or a good body attack, or you know that they could fight from the bottom and at any moment in time they could turn your lights out, then I understand being cautious and sitting on your lead. No excuse last night, Shakur Stevenson, to not get this guy out of there, but can see that he's a very skilled fighter and do understand that he knows how to use the ring greatly. Looking forward to seeing his career moving forward. Showtime last night, Erickson Lubin versus Nathaniel Gilmore at 154. I really didn't care for this fight on paper. It didn't really play out to be all that great. I was, however, happy to see Showtime back in the mix. And here, what is just a refreshing call of a fight. Mo Ronaldo, even though he gets a little crazy sometimes with his mamma mia's and his, you know, analogies and whatnot, I happen to find them fun. And like I mentioned before, I'm a pro wrestling fan, and he does cover pro wrestling. And, you know, I'm cut from that cloth where I like to listen to an announcer have fun and entertain me. You know, it doesn't have to be all serious all the time. It's entertainment, you know, and I do enjoy his call. And I think when he has to be serious and fulfill you with information, I think Mauro was really good at that too. Paulie Malignaggi talking about information. Regardless of, like, you know, sometimes he gets on his, like, you know, crazy tangents about, show me the sparring footage of McGregor. I kicked his ass. They edited it. It's bullshit. It's camera angles. Whatever it is. I happen to like Paulie as a person. I've met him numerous times. I think he's a great dude in person. And also, I think he's a hell of a commentator, you know. He really knows how to call a fight. He's a lot of fun to listen to. His analysis is pretty much spot on point. It reminds me of when I enjoyed Roy Jones's call for HBO back in the day. Roy Jones really knew how to call a fight back in the day, okay? And I'm stressing back in the day because I'm not really sure that Roy Jones is really all there with his faculties as he was sharp as he was in the mid-90s and early 2000s and maybe even a later part, maybe around the 2009, 2010 era with HBO. We all know that Roy went on to fight a lot of fights that he probably shouldn't have fought and took a hell of damage in those said fights. And to me, his speech patterns aren't the same, and his analysis of the fight and his sharpness while calling the fight is not the same in the later part of the HBO years before they closed out. Real quick, though, about Al Bernstein with Showtime is that I think he's wonderful as well. I think he's also a very great commentator, and Showtime delivers the best ringside analysis, in my opinion. I'll leave it there. I will mention, however, Robert Easter versus Adrian Granados. Fun fight. You know, Adrian Granados is always in those type of fights. Robert Easter, he just can't, like, get a definitive, like, close to a show for me. Like, I'm not really hyped on Robert Easter, although I do feel he is very good at that weight category. I'd like to see him do a little bit more to close a show and entertain. I want to switch gears real fast to the WWE Universe. We got Crown Jewel coming up on Thursday. The reason why I mention this, it combines my worlds. My worlds meaning my boxing world, my mixed martial arts world, and my wrestling world. Now, boxing is my favorite, and I love wrestling next to it, and I like the UFC and MMA in third place. But when you bring them all together, it makes me one happy dude. Let's talk about my thoughts on Braun Strowman versus Tyson Fury. Man, I love this. I was watching SmackDown, and I was so pumped when I saw Tyson Fury get bumped by Strowman. They got each other's face. I'm like, are they going here? I'm like, oh, hell yeah, because this is awesome. Tyson Fury fits this circus so friggin' well. It's unbelievable how awesome he's going to be in the WWE mixed in, and it's great for his branding. It's getting his name out there. His name is out there huge now. Kids now know who Tyson Fury is. The world now knows who Tyson Fury is. I like this. I think that they're going to give Tyson Fury a good look against Braun Strowman, who is one of the WWE's top performers. Certainly one of the biggest guys in size. I believe he weighs 350 pounds in Braun Strowman. And I'm going to say he's a little shorter than Tyson Fury. Maybe he's at 6'8". But he's a big dude, and he's a strong guy. I mean, this guy, I've seen him lift and tilt over, you know, trucks. Tyson Fury is going to have his hands full. Now, yeah, you could say this shit is scripted. Guys, I go to these things quite often. I've sat ringside to these things. Wrestling is hard, okay? They throw each other through tables. They slam each other on the mat. I've actually had wrestlers thrown at me and on me in attendance. I was so close. They don't fuck around when it comes to the wrestling part. Now, the punches are pulled, and the kicks obviously sometimes look terrible. But this wrestling thing is these guys fuck each other up, all right? Let's not get that twisted. So Tyson Fury is going to have to be very, very careful. And hopefully he worked at the WWE Performance Center in high regard to get himself at a point where he could be fit and conditioned and to save face and not have his eye that was just busted up by Otto Wallin have issues and be able to walk out of this unscathed and potentially get a fight with Deontay Wilder if Deontay Wilder gets past his assignment against Luis Ortiz. The other bout I'm looking forward to at Crown Jewel is the Beast, Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez in a rematch. However, this time, instead of an octagon, they're going to be in a wrestling ring. First time around, in case you guys don't know, in the UFC, Cain Velasquez violently beat Brock Lesnar in just tremendous fashion in a hell of a crazy fight. So they're going to do it in the wrestling ring now. There's a storyline behind it. It's juicy. I'm really looking forward to that matchup. Also, I'm looking forward to previewing the big one coming up on November 2nd in my city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Canelo Alvarez takes on Sergey Kovalev at 175 pounds. Okay, let's address the big thing that everyone's talking about when discussing and breaking down this fight. The conventional wisdom of the norm of people are saying, well, it makes perfect sense for Canelo to pick Kovalev because Kovalev doesn't like it to the body. I've been saying this for months leading up to this fight. Nobody likes to get hit in the body, all right? It is terrible. The closer to the liver it gets worse and worse, all right? So, you know, do I think that Kovalev is susceptible to body shots? Absolutely. Do I think that he caves under duress and pressure like we've seen him with the Andre Ward fight? And let's face facts, guys. A lot of those were testicle shots. But more so the Elito Alvarez fight in fight number one. Under duress and pressure, we've seen that Kovalev, I'm not going to call him a quitter, because especially what I seen in the last Anthony Yarde fight, and I'm going to go through a lot of these fights in detail in a moment. This will be a lengthier episode, this one, where we analyze things. But I think we've seen him both succeed and fail in Kovalev. We've seen him have really bad nights where maybe he looked like he wasn't, his intestinal fortitude wasn't really strong, but then we've seen him do some things where it's like, wow, okay, he does have some balls. He does know how to fight from the bottom, all right? So I think the body shot thing is just like, you know, a little bit overhyped, although I do feel, and I'll get to my predictions, that the body shot will be a heavy factor in this fight, but I think it's more or less of what for me, Sergey Kovalev can do to keep Canelo off of him and avoid contact, you know, and get away from the potential body shots and box in a way that I think Kovalev is responsible enough to do. So let's start taking things step by step here in breaking down this fight. I think we all know that Canelo is relentless. He comes in, he uses good angles, he's got good movement, he likes to attack the body, he likes to put pressure on, as we've seen in his last fight with Triple G in particular, where that was probably the most aggressive version of him that we've ever seen.
Very, very impressive. Against Danny Jacobs, you know, recently, Canelo in that fight, yeah, he won, but it wasn't really impressive. But you can't knock them all out, and Danny Jacobs is a seasoned veteran of the game. All right, so let's rewind back to the past a little bit. Obviously, when Canelo had lost, he had significant problems with the boxer, the slick boxer that is Floyd Mayweather Jr. And I think that that kind of like, you know, set the script for guys that know how to box. I'm going to say like along the same lines as a Mayweather, not as good as a Mayweather, but can box and move like an Israel Adesanya. And I think we saw in that fight that, you know, even though Canelo got the nod, he had significant difficulty in dealing with Lara in that fight. A lot of people, including myself, thought Israel Adesanya won that fight. However, the judges didn't see it that way and scored it. I think it was two judges had it for Canelo and one actually did see it for Lara, if my memory serves me correct. But there was significant issues that he had there in that boxing match. You know, so Canelo, the point I'm getting at is that he might have issues with Kovalev if Kovalev is able to work his 1-2s, if he's able to work his jab, and in particular, the straight right hand off the jab and keep his distance. You know, he's a big dude, is Sergey Kovalev. I wouldn't, if I was him though, I wouldn't get too close and try to lean on him. A lot of people talk about like inside fighting. I don't think you want to get in close if you're Kovalev in this fight, because you know that Canelo's going to let his hands go, and that's his greatest opportunity, I think, on the inside to land some left hooks to the jaw or some right hooks and left hooks to the body, or even like straights on the inside to the stomach, the pit of the stomach, because I really feel that Canelo and his team are going to target that area on Kovalev greatly. All right. So for me, Kovalev's best opportunity to win this fight is to use a supreme jab that we've seen him use before in the past and even floor guys. Now, recently he floored Anthony Yarde with a jab. However, I think it was because Yarde had blown out of gas because, you know, he's a big muscular guy, was fighting at the highest level of his professional career experience. A lot of nerves involved. I think Anthony Yarde in the 11th round just kind of was like fatigued, and the jab just kind of like just finished it off. But if you look at the Elito Alvarez fight, the second one with Kovalev, that was a great fight. He turned that thing around, man, after being, you know, destroyed in the 7th round in the first fight against Elito Alvarez. So you got to give him significant props there. The two major fights to talk about that most people know Sergey Kovalev for is the Andre Ward fights. The first one was extremely close, and he boxed very well with Andre Ward. Ward was down in round number two, and I was shocked. You know, I revere Andre Ward in a very high regard, and I thought it was going to be a competitive fight, but to see him go down that early in a fight, I was like, wow. Andre Ward, of course, made adjustments, but the fight was extremely close. Again, another one where a lot of people had opinions, strong opinions, about who won that fight. The second one was equally controversial, Andre Ward and Kovalev. But the reason why this one was extremely controversial was for different reasons. Low blows at the end of the fight. Andre Ward certainly slapped around Sergey Kovalev's ball sack like a speed bag at the end of that fight. There's no doubt about it. However, I think the result would have been the same, okay? And I'll explain. Kovalev got hit by a huge right hand by Andre Ward before that happened, which set up the sequence of events. I don't think Ward had to really go there. I don't even know if Ward really meant to go there. It was a weird moment. Kovalev got his ass on the ropes, and he was kind of like hunched over, and, you know, so maybe Ward was trying to shoot for the stomach. It was a weird chain of events that had happened there with body language. And, you know, I honestly thought that those shots were low and the referee should have warned Andre Ward and gave Sergey Kovalev some time to recover, which he would have benefited from greatly because he was definitely buzzed to his head. But that's just not what happened. And I think ultimately, though, that Kovalev was starting to show, and this is where I'm going with this, guys, that caving, that lack of intestinal fortitude,
that I think he's shown before in the past. And I think it's Canelo's responsibility to expose that once again, to bring that character out. Because one thing I know about character, I'm a teacher, and I know like people's characters and how to teach them. I know the human nature, and I can see tendencies in people and behavioral patterns, right? So it, for me, if I'm Canelo and his team, I want to bring that pattern of, you know, caving in. Like, how do we get to that moment where we could break this guy down mentally to where he starts questioning himself, meaning Kovalev, where Kovalev starts to question himself, man, can I do this? These body shots suck. I'm under significant stress right now. I don't feel confident. This guy's negated my jab. This guy's negated my movement. My right hand's not working. Then I think you could break him down and start the process, all right? Now, there was a moment in the Yarde fight that we just saw recently where Kovalev was significantly hurt and he had to turn the tide, okay? And that was a great look. So that shows that he has what it takes. But I also feel that he knew $12 million or more was on the line for the Canelo fight coming up next if he was to get past Anthony Yarde. So now I'm saying to myself, watching this, you know what? If that's me, I'm going to go out there too and bust my ass to get to that paycheck. I will go through the pits of hell. Now, I'm sitting there on the couch, honestly, watching this with a beer. So who am I to say shit about this sort of thing? But I'm just saying, I think that a lot of it had to do with the prize at the end of the road. And that's where I'm going. Does Kovalev want this prize? Is it just money? Or does he want to be the best at 175, to show the world I just beat Canelo, one of the biggest fighters on this planet? It's not just about money. This is about the sport and legacy and you know, where I stand in the place of history in the Hall of Fame and all this kind of stuff with my credentials on my resume. And I think if, you know, Kovalev goes in with that kind of fire, with that kind of mental fire, right, that he could definitely do something spectacular here. Now, strategically, I think Canelo is not going to only go down to the body. That's the obvious. I think he's going to work the head to bring the hands up and eventually go down to the body. Canelo of late has shown great, great skill. I think that Mayweather fight was so beneficial to him and the understanding about how to be a complete boxer, a hybrid of sorts, if you will. Canelo obviously has a different style than Floyd did, but he definitely added a lot better defense to his arsenal and understood the importance of defense and making people miss and making people pay. I really like the look of Canelo of late. You know, in particular, I really enjoyed his performance in that last Triple G fight. You know, Rocky Fielding, how much could we gauge from that? I give him credit. You know, he fought a guy that was bigger than him and, you know, whatever. But this one is going to be an ultimate test of really how special Canelo is. And I think he's very special. He's moving up to 175, you know, has a potential to be a strong player there if he should succeed against Kovalev that night. Some people are, you know, talking better Khabib already. Let's see how he looks in Canelo at 175 before I even talk about that sort of thing. I definitely think that Canelo, if he should get a win in this fight, would probably stay around the 168, 175 weight realm. I don't really foresee him going back down to 160. Quite frankly, there's not many fights there that I really give a shit to see. So that brings me to Kovalev, who is very big and very strong physically. Will that be a factor in this fight? Absolutely. I think in a different way, though. Like I was saying before, I don't think Kovalev tries to get too close and smother and lean. I think that'll open him up vulnerable for quick hooks, whether they be from to the head or to the stomach from Canelo. They will certainly be there, readily available, if Kovalev gets too close to him. So what I think Kovalev's best thing to do is work the 1-2s. Start with the jab, start dropping the right hand. Okay, start timing your jab and then bring in the right hand. Kovalev is a very good boxer. And I think that if he uses that skill properly in this fight, he could save face, win some rounds, or even potentially win the fight. I think this fight's going to be a lot more competitive than most people think. Kovalev is tricky with his leg movement. I think if he goes down to the body with some jabs and brings up some right hands to the head off the jab
trajectory, changing things up with the jab trajectory, going from the jab to the head or the stomach or vice versa and throwing a right hand behind it. He can slow down some of Canelo's angles and movements. And this is where physicality comes into play, because if he's throwing 2 to 3 punch combinations and he lands one of them, it will slow down Canelo's rhythm, because those punches will be harder, or the hardest that I feel, all right, that Canelo will ever be hit. We're talking about a man that is bigger than Triple G. We're talking about a man that's stronger than Triple G. And I keep mentioning Triple G in this situation because I honestly think that was the strongest man that Canelo has ever fought, okay? So Kovalev will be a stronger man. He will be, in my opinion, he's a better boxer than Triple G is. In Kovalev. So he will be a better boxer than, you know, Canelo has seen at a high weight. Okay. One of the best boxers he's seen at a high weight, if Kovalev brings his best game to the table. All right. So for me, it's like, I look at it like this. The physicality could be a factor if that jab starts working. And then if he's able to slow down, Kovalev is able to slow down Canelo with the jab and starts landing some good rights and maybe a little bit of body attack and slows down Canelo, he could then start the leaning, start using more physical approach to it, start roughhousing him a little bit, beating him up on the inside. But I think the smart play for Kovalev and his people stay on the outside and pepper Canelo and make him work and make him think and make him uncomfortable. Let him know that he's the smaller man. Kovalev's job is to say, hey, man, I'm the guy at 175. I might weigh 185 pounds tonight, so I'm going to show you everything I got, but I'm going to do it with my hands. And then later on, we see where it goes. My ultimate prediction on this fight is that I think Canelo will win. But I also think it's going to be a much more competitive fight than a lot of people are suggesting. I think that Canelo will stop him. I think it's going to be a shocker towards the end of the fight where one punch is going to do it at the end. Now, it's going to be an accumulation of blows that happen, little things that happen throughout the course of a fight that will be a close competitive fight. But I see, like, say, around round 10 that Canelo lands something big and Kovalev is seriously hurt. And I don't think he's going to quit. I just think he's going to be knocked out. I don't think he's going to be able to clear his eyes and steady the ship and get his legs under him. I think that we go to like a 7 or 8 count and the referee waves it off. And I think it'll be a good look for Canelo, obviously, and to see where his future goes, and a good fight for Kovalev, showing that he does have what it takes to persevere and come to a big fight like this and come in shape and handle himself and give a good account for himself. And I don't think it's going to be one of those situations where he's going to spit out a mouthpiece or something like that and everyone says that he's got no balls. You know, so I'm looking forward to a very good fight. I'd like to thank you guys for listening to today's show. I also encourage you guys to check out other shows on the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network. Thank you guys once again.